From 90.7 WFAE, this is Newsworthy for Tuesday, December 23, 2025. I'm Eric Thiel. A federal judge in Charlotte says immigration officials violated a man's due process rights when they detained him. They've been ordered to give the man a bond hearing. Julian Berger has more.
U.S. District Judge Max Cogburn ruled that U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement unlawfully detained Mustafa Saeed last month. He's an asylum seeker from Egypt. Court records show Saeed entered the U.S. last year. He was detained by Border Patrol and later released on humanitarian parole while his asylum case moved forward. Last month, Saeed was arrested in Charlotte during a routine ICE check-in and transferred to a detention center in Georgia. Judge Cogburn ordered immigration officials to give Saeed a bond hearing within 48 hours. There was no word Monday on whether that hearing had taken place. Saeed has no criminal record. His asylum case isn't scheduled to be heard until 2027. Julian Berger, WFAE News.
Holiday travel has kicked off at Charlotte Douglas International Airport, and the Transportation Security Administration is expecting millions of passengers this year. Kenneth Lee has more.
TSA expects to screen more than 44 million passengers nationwide through January 4th. The agency projects the busiest day will be December 28th, when more than 2 million passengers are expected to fly. The holiday period often brings less frequent air travelers, and some may be unaware of items they can't bring through security. TSA Federal Security Director Greg Hocko said some common items can cause bag checks or delays.
Any kind of liquids, gels, or aerosols, anything that can smear, spread, pour, any items like that will most likely result in a bag check depending on size. In addition, any prohibited items such as firearms, knives, sharp items.
Hocko said passengers can find a full list of prohibited items on the TSA website. Charlotte Douglas officials expect roughly 2.7 million passengers to arrive and depart during the holiday season. Kenneth Lee, WFAE News.
The Christmas tree growing season was a success this year in North Carolina, despite fears about lingering impacts from Helene. WFDD's April Leslie reports.
Each year, the state harvests 2 to 3 million Christmas trees from farms spread over 33,000 acres, many of them in the high country. Will Colway, an extension specialist in Christmas tree production at NC State University, says it's been a good year for growers.
We had rain equally spread out throughout the year instead of all at once. We didn't have many droughts. We had good temperatures, so our trees look really great.
The industry did face some setbacks from Helene, though. He says seedling growers were particularly hard hit because they plant on flat ground.
And a lot of times that's on lower elevation, closer to the water. When the flooding hit, like, we had some nursery producers that had basically everything outside washed away.
Colway notes that many seedling growers received government funding in order to stay afloat. He says growers were able to source seedlings from areas that weren't affected, keeping tree supply and prices stable this year. For WFDD, I'm April Leslie.
The oldest African bull elephant in the United States has died at the North Carolina Zoo. WRAL reports Cesar, who was 51 years old, came to the zoo in 1978 at just 4 years old. He was the zoo's first elephant and became an NC Zoo icon, known to generations of visitors. Zoo officials say the cause of death was natural from age-related conditions. Charlotte Hornets rookie Con Knipple is the fastest player in NBA history to reach 100 career three-pointers, achieving that milestone in just 29 games, shattering Lauri Markkanen's previous record of 41 games. It took Golden State Warriors and former Davidson great Steph Curry, the all-time leader in made threes, 58 games to reach that mark. Recess during school could have both physical and academic benefits for kids. But some say recess periods at schools here and across the country are getting shorter and shorter. James Farrell has more on a group of local parents who are trying to change that.
The playground at the Ballantine Bowl has slides, climbing ropes, and lots of other playground equipment. But on this Saturday afternoon, 9-year-old Christian Glynn and his 4-year-old brother Holden don't need any of that. They've brought scraps of cardboard and a dream. Here's Christian.
So the plan is to use the cardboard to slide down the fake grass turf, because it is on a hill, so let's see how that works.
Christian and Holden's father, Ross Glynn, believes playtime like this is important. not just at the playground on the weekend, but during school, at recess. He's glad the school day is academically rigorous, but he thinks kids need balance.
So of course that's academics. You know, that's I would argue, always going to be the highest and most important priority. But there's also, the opposite of that, unstructured time with their peers, frankly, without adults interfering, right? Without adults leading the way.
But Glenn is worried that those in-school opportunities are shrinking. He's working with a group called Say Yes to Recess, which advocates for laws requiring more recess time for kids. The group started in Tennessee, where it helped push one of the strongest recess laws in the country across the governor's desk. They've set up chapters in 16 states. Co-founder Catherine Truman said in many places, recess has been whittled down to around 20 minutes per day.
It's been a slow squeeze on this block of time during the day that has usually no fiscal note attached to it. So it's not, there's no budget implications. It's just kind of an easy block of time to hack away at.
On paper, North Carolina has policies protecting recess time. The State Board of Education's Healthy Active Children policy prohibits schools from withholding recess from kids as a form of punishment. It requires all K-8 students to get at least 30 minutes of, quote, moderate to vigorous physical activity per day. But PE also counts, which Glenn says is important, but not the same as unstructured free time. Many advocates call for more. The Tennessee law, for instance, requires 40 minutes per day. And in practice, 30 minutes isn't always 30 minutes. Glenn says he's seen this firsthand at his son's school, the Collinswood Language Academy in Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools. The 30-minute clock starts right when students leave their classroom, meaning transit time, bathroom breaks, and snack time all get counted against it.
So that when you actually measure the minutes of true outdoor, unstructured free play, that's probably closer to 15 minutes, give or take.
Glenn has asked CMS to consider requiring schools to start the clock when kids are already on the playground or to increase daily recess time. CMS didn't respond to a request for comment. Jana Hess is a parent to students in the Chapel Hill Carborough School District who's noticed the same erosion of recess time.
So I realized that I was like, okay, this isn't enough movement. It's not enough outdoor time. It is not creating the dynamic you want within the body from a psychological perspective of you want dopamine release, you want this, you want that, you want unstructured play.
Kathy Ramstetter is a researcher, school health consultant, and founder of a nonprofit called Successful Healthy Children, who spent much of her career promoting the importance of recess. She says recess can help boost academic performance. Taking breaks helps the brain process the information that it learns. And the unstructured peer-to-peer interactions at recess also help kids develop other skills.
That's their time to practice the things we teach them, whether that's a physical skill, or that's an interpersonal skill, that's a communication skill, that's a conflict resolution skill, that's a decision-making skill. Those are all things that we can practice at recess.
UNC Chapel Hill professor Ioma Iruka agrees and thinks schools need to do more to increase recess time. But she cautions that any broader recess policy changes need to take into account the root causes of why schools struggle with recess. New policies shouldn't create new pressures for school staff.
And what we've seen, a huge loss in teachers, a huge turnover in teachers, is I want to make sure that it doesn't create this other challenges that we're not anticipating.
Parents like Glenn, trying to drive change here in North Carolina, are still in the early stages. A petition calling on parents to advocate for more recess time has nearly 500 signatures. Parents are starting out small, speaking with their local school leaders. Back at the Ballantine Bowl, the Glenn's experiment has worked, and other kids have joined in on the fun. Soon, they're tumbling over each other, taking turns on their makeshift sled. Holden tells me how recess gives him chances like this every day.
And I love to play with my friends every day.
James Farrell, WFAE News.
Support for WFAE's education coverage comes from Habitat for Humanity of the Charlotte region. And for Tuesday, December 23rd, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Teal. We'll be back on Monday.